Is it very loud? Huh? No, it's okay. I'm very so usually so soft spoken. Sounds very loud. Sounds like janky. So I don't usually talk about my work because it involves what Paul calls the unpresentable parts. I'm a colorectal surgeon, which means that we deal with the colon, the rectum, and the anus. So not things that people talk about normally. And people are usually very shy, so I also don't want to make people shy. But this is relevant, so I need to tell you what I do. So as part of our training, we will go overseas to train for a year. So in 2005, I went and did my overseas training in Melbourne for a year. Very fast, it's 20 years really, which means that when I went, I was 5 years old. Such a prodigy. So time really flies. And that year was a very good year for career development because I really learned a lot. I learned a lot. I mean, developed in many ways. We wrote a lot of papers, published a lot of papers, won some awards, that kind of thing. And I was under this person who was a very famous surgeon in Australia at that time. In fact, he probably was the most famous surgeon in the whole of Australia in this area. And truly, he was very good. I mean, as surgeons, we need to have good technical skills. Otherwise, you anyhow cut, right? It'd be quite dangerous. We need to, you know, but you need... Okay, never mind. Let's not go there. How you all laugh? But he was not just good technically. He was very good academically. He was a professor at university. He published a lot of papers, a lot of books, that kind of thing. And he was very well known worldwide. I mean, when you mention Australia, you mention this discipline, it will always be his name that came up. And he was very rich, and I mean very, very rich. Not family money, you know, all him. He made it all himself through his work. So he was truly very good, and he knew it. And he made sure that everybody else knew it. So he was, to put it, in an understated manner, not a very nice person. So he would bully everybody. Me, of course, because I'm the lowest on the food chain, right? So easy. He would be mean to his colleagues, his workers. In the year that I was there, I think about 10 or more than 10 staff resigned. Because they cannot, I mean, this is being racist. The Angmos, they don't take this sort of nonsense, right? They don't like you, they throw a letter, right? So a lot of people resign. Then his colleagues, you know, didn't like him. Don't know whether it's because of jealousy or not. At that time, I thought it was because of jealousy because he was really very exceptional. And so this was an environment, very good professionally, but, you know, just not a nice thing to do with. And he was obviously not a believer because there was once he was trying to make conversation with me and say, sometimes I think of going to church, but no, I never go, that kind of thing. So to cut a very long story short, about a couple of years after I came back from Australia, I heard that he actually became sick. And the most ironic of all is this is very bad, I'm shouldn't be laughing. He contracted colorectal cancer, which is the cancer that we treat normally. And within a couple of years, he didn't make it, like he passed on. And I remember this very shocking thing that I read in an obituary in one of the Australian journals. I mean, we usually try to be nice to people, right? You say nice things about it. But the obituary, you know, reading in between the lines would go something along the lines of, wow, we are quite happy he's gone. It's very sad. I mean, it's really very sad. Like I said, the Amos, they don't take prisoners. But that year led to a very big epiphany for me, which is another story. But it just shows how fleeting life is. It just shows how fleeting life is because we can achieve a lot in our lifetime. We can do wonderful things and be very, very good. But at the end of the day, what is there left? And if last week we learned from Ecclesiastes 6:10, Pastor Mark taught, whatever one is, he has been named already, for it is known that he is man, and he cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. At the end of the day, we are just humans. No matter how great we are or how successful we are just humans. And there's like no legacy, there's no like lasting thing. When we are gone, we are gone. I mean, of course, there are some people who do much better things and so on, but most of us are probably not in that category. So how do we want to live our lives in this world? On this world, in this world, same. How do we want to live our lives? And how do we want to focus our attention and our energy? And last week when I read this verse again, I was like, wow, you know, it's really something that is really, really, it really struck home. Which is not to say that we cannot be good at our work. And I think that we should be good at our work. And there are many good examples, you know. I mean, people in church, Teacher Chung, Teacher Chinky, they are fantastic in their work. And they serve the Lord faithfully. When I grow up, I want to be like her. So the focus really is, what do we place our lives focus on? And I would say that, you know, as we read the scriptures, it just comes to mind how wonderful our God is. How wonderful our God is and how amazing it is that we can be His children, regardless of our position in life, whether we are successful or we're not successful. Because at the end of the day, all these don't matter. So the song that we're going to sing today is How Great You Are. We don't sing this that often, but Gabe says that, you know, you all sang this when you all are teenagers and kind of thing, so you should know the song. Huh? And I like this song because it sets in place how great a wonderful God He is. And we take Him for granted, but He is really the Creator. And yet, can I have the second slide? And yet, as Creator, He could even know our name and He could even know who we are. And let us never forget how great and how wonderful a God He is. And really to fix our eyes on Him, to really follow Him and find that this is the most important thing in our lives and not anything else. Let's sing this song together. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Gabe. Hand this time to Pastor Mark.
Okay, thank you, Jane, for sharing very poignant the point from what we learned last week. You know, sometimes we can achieve things in life, but yet, what's that all about? We'll take it up a little bit more and for us to think about as we look at today's study of the Lord's Word. And what defies reasoning is Jane's understanding of her age. I still don't understand all these years of knowing her. But anyway, to each his own. No, just kidding. Okay, let's pray and then we can look into the Lord's Word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank You for Your words that continue to help us to think through about life, our plans, and the circumstances that we find ourselves in. May we continue to look to You for that enlightenment, for that guidance, and that wisdom to be able to know how we can live our lives the way we ought to. We pray for Your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, before we take up today's passage, and Jane was just alluding to what we learned last week, and there's always the danger of being proud and arrogant, and you know, sometimes we tend to think that we are able to achieve great things, but yet at the same time we also come face to face with God. And that's the reality, right? And sometimes we end up asking ourselves, what's that all about, right? At the end, it's all vanity of vanities. But yet at the same time, how should we pursue life? So last week we had a bit of a discussion about ambition and so on and so forth. And we were saying how, I mean, that's something that is valid, right? And we talked about how we want to pursue the knowledge of God, how we want to pursue a life of righteousness, to do what is godly, and so on and so forth. And I was just thinking that, you know, instead of taking it from one standpoint, which is a personal standpoint. Because sometimes when you look at, and this was something that Leanne brought up, sometimes when you look at ambition, it can be very personal. And sometimes what is personal can border towards, what is bordering towards what is selfish. So the Bible does talk about selfish ambition. So we need to be very careful about what we talk about when we talk about ambition. It is a very personal thing, but yet it can be so, you can be so caught up with it that it becomes selfish. So again, we need to be very careful. But what I thought is a good approach also is to see from, instead of just what is, you know, a godly thing to do, but rather why don't we see from God's plan? And, you know, I was just thinking about it, right? Because when you think about God's plan, first of all, has to do with God himself. Meaning, we relate with him. There's that relationship. It's all about who he is. So that's God's plan for each and every one of us, right? It is how we want to start. Right? When we talk about, when we come to know the Lord. So this morning I was talking to the special needs parents, parents with special needs children, and we were talking about how God had foreordained, from 1 Peter 1, God had foreordained Christ and from the beginning of time to manifest himself, right, to us, to you, that we may believe and to be able to come to faith and hope in God. So it's all about God first. That's God's plan. That was his plan for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that ultimately, so I was just encouraging the brethren that, you know what, God, whole plan of Christ coming, manifesting himself, his person, is that we will have faith and hope in him. Then, you know, it's also about righteousness. Right? How we want to live our lives as we know the Lord, as we relate with him. And as we do these two things, right, in relationship, our life, God would reveal his plan for us. When God reveals his plan, it is about our lives. It's about, it's not just about service for him. Sometimes we talk about God revealing his plan means, oh, you know, it's how we want to serve. And yes, that's important. But it's also about your life. It is about what God reveals. So whether you are choosing, like for instance, okay, I was just also sharing. When I was young, I wanted to be an engineer. So as, you know, I went to fix around the things that are broken in the house, thinking, oh, wow, I can, you know, become an engineer. Well, I went into the art stream, forget about the engineer, right? Because I couldn't do physics or whatever. So, right? Okay, then I decided I'll do business, study business, and then I'll work in a bank, which I did. But after 3 years, I discovered I didn't want to be a banker. But what God was doing was that he was revealing his plan to me, bit at a time. It's not about ambition. It is about God's plan for your life that all of us need to discover for ourselves. And it has to do with your inclinations, your gifts, what is it that you are good at, and so on and so forth. That's part of God's plan. And when you are able to do that, then when you respond, right, to what his plan is positively, then you see how God will bless, how God would confirm. Right? This is, I mean, I was just thinking about it further and I thought this is something for us to consider when you look at God's plan for us. Because when you do things according to God's plan, I understand, it's not easy to figure out God's plan, sure. But when you know that this is God's plan, when you discover that this is God's plan, what else would you want to do? This is God's plan for your life. So being a pastor, after all these years, you know, it's almost 3 decades, you know, coming to 3 decades that I've chosen to become a pastor. And I have no regrets. And I see the Lord's hand. And the Lord has blessed in so many ways. I get to serve with people like Jane that always brings joy to the heart. And right? it's like, okay, this is what we... So, I, you know, this is something that you want to think about as we look at today's passage. Okay, now, when you come to chapter 7, so we finish chapter 6 and we come to chapter 7, the author of, I mean, the author of Ecclesiastes raises this issue of the idea of a name, right? What is a name? Verse 1, he says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. So, a good name, right? Have you ever thought whether you have a good name? And I don't just mean the name, right, that you have, right? Gabriel, what does it mean? Do you know? Well, God is my strength. Wow, that's a good name, right? But it's not just about the name, right? As parents, you want to name your child with significance and so on and so forth. My name is Mark, but I don't know what it really means. They, you know, it says that, oh, mighty one. Okay, lah, sounds good, but I also don't know. I don't know what really the significance of that. But what we are really talking about here is it has to do with your life, your who you are, right? So a good name has to do with who you are, what you are, and what people think of you. It really has to do with a good name. So he says here, a good name is better than precious ointment. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the value, the worth of a good name. So it's not just a famous name. So you have someone like Trump, the whole world knows who he is, but not everybody likes him. Right? It's a name that is associated with many things that are not so good. Yes, we desire a good name. But the challenge is, it's not easy to have a good name or to cultivate a good name. Right? And when you have a good name, you truly want to guard that name. Okay? And he says here, a good name is better than precious ointment. Right? Precious ointment probably has to do with a perfume, or during those days, it's very expensive. Only the rich and the wealthy can afford it. It's of great worth, but a good name. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 22, and it gives us a further understanding. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Name above wealth? That's something else. So it tells us why it's important for us to have a good name. Right? And that's something for us to consider. Well, yesterday, Yochai invited some of us for his change of command. And you know, I have a greater appreciation for our Navy now. Right? So sometimes you think about the Navy. When I was doing my NS, I was actually part of the Navy. But that one is more, you know, for me, I went there, report, and after I went to play water polo. So that's about it that I knew about the Navy. But I was very impressed, right? And now he is in charge of a submarine. I can say that, right? Yeah, okay. So and, you know, so I was really, really proud of him. And, you know, he's come to where he is. And, you know, he is developing for himself to where he is, right? And all the, there were a number of different speeches that were given, honor were given to others. And, you know, each person had a good name. I thought that was important. That they are the commanders of our Navy. And so the name RSN has, in my eyes, have increased to a certain extent, right? And it's not easy to develop a good name. In fact, it takes years. In fact, it takes a lifetime, right? A good name is also related, interestingly, to death. Okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. And it says here, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And you're asking yourself, how come you talk about good name, then you talk about death? Well, that's the point. It's also related to death. At the end of your life, you want to be able to have a good name. You don't want to just, okay, you know, you have a good name, but then along the way, things don't turn out. You want to have a good name throughout your life to the point where death comes, right? When someone gives a eulogy on your behalf, it is a good name that we share. Rather than, sometimes you go to funeral services, what you hear is very general things. You also know why. Because there's not much to say about the person, right? But when there's a lot of things to say about a person, then you know that this person had a good name. Okay? So, please ensure you have a good name, right? Make our life easier as pastors. We've got more things to say. You know, we just read from the Bible. No, no, not really. Okay? Right? Okay, let's go on with, and then we'll think about it a little bit more. So in verse 2, it says, better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Then it shifts to this idea of death a little bit more. Right? And, you know, he seems to be, so Solomon, remember, he struggled with a lot of life things, vanity of vanities, even the question of death. But now you see him being able to, in fact, accept death, or at least to have a better appreciation, that he is able to say the day of death is actually better than the day of your birth. Why? Day of birth, you don't know what's going to happen, many challenges, sufferings will come, you don't know, many uncertainties. But when you come to the end of life, there's no more uncertainty. Life comes to an end. That's about it. Right? So he kind of making some progress. Right? Now, before we move on to the rest, let's turn to Acts 3 a little bit. So in Acts 3, we read about some people with good names. So you have this seven men that were specially selected, right, to help out because there were some issues and problems. Who do you pick? Right? Well, verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So you needed people that was of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. The word reputation here is where you get the word martyr in Greek, right? It is to be able to give a good testimony. That's the idea here. Your reputation, it becomes a good testimony that people know about. And they appreciate you, right? And they were the ones that were specially selected. Now, let's go to chapter 16. And you have Timothy. Verse 1, behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. Verse 2, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Right? And so he is well known, well spoken of. Now, the word well spoken is the same word as good reputation. Matureo, right? They gave a good testimony of this person. You know, that's wonderful. And that's the kind of name that we want to be able to have, where your reputation is considered good, that you are well spoken of, that people will give a good testimony concerning you. So it's good to ask ourselves, if someone were to speak of us, what would they say? Seriously. Sometimes we also dare not ask that because we also don't know what people will say, right? But it is a good thing to ask. Because if you are not able, you know, to have a good name, it's good to be able to ask yourself why. Why not? Maybe we have a bad name and we ask ourselves why. How come? Why is it that we have a bad name? I'm not saying that any of you got a bad name. I'm just getting us to think through things. Right? And we ought to be able to have good reputation, that to be well spoken of, to have a good name. Right? And this is something for us to consider. Okay? Now, let's go on to any questions at all concerning this. Is it too self-focused? Is it selfish? No, it's not about that. It is about who you are. You see the difference? It's not about, oh, I want to make a name for myself. That's different. That's about, you know, self. It's about being selfish. It's about pride and so on. That's not the point. It is about the kind of person you are. And I think that's something for us to consider. Right? Now, let's look at verse 2 again. And it says, better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Now, this is a comparison. House of mourning, house of feasting. House of mourning, you know, a funeral, place of grief and sadness. House of feasting, having a meal, joy, laughter. Now, nothing wrong in itself, right? I mean, we all enjoy each other's company and being able to eat together, right? Nothing wrong with having to be able to have a meal together and so forth. So I had a group of you last night, we had a good time catching up and talking and being able to relate. But sometimes if that's just the focus, I think then we miss the point, right? We do it once in a while. And if eating is, wow, everything, if drinking is everything, then becomes a problem. Right? How much can you eat anyway? So this week, Chinky and I, we tried a new restaurant at Upper Thomson. It's called Philo Bistro. Any of you been before? No? It's a new restaurant around our area, and the food was really good, really nice. But we realized after a while that the food was so rich until it became, wow, very jelak, right? It was so rich and so much cream and, wow. This is what we call, so what do you call a situation when you eat too much rich food? Is an overreach. Anyway, let's go to the house of mourning. Right? Okay, let's look at the house of mourning. And he says here that it is the end of all men and the living will take it to heart. Why? See, the difference is that I'm not saying that. So when they make this comparison, it's just a very general comparison. I can have a meal with someone and it can be the most significant and blessing because of the fellowship that we had. And it was something that I experienced last night. I spoke to some of you We had a good time of fellowship. We learned things along the way. We encouraged each other along the way. I'm not saying that, you know, it is feasting means is shallow and everything else. This description here is what we call a very general description. So we need to understand the context. So the is a general perspective, but the point that it's trying to make here is that when you make that kind of comparison, when you talk about feasting, it is about drinking, partying, and all those things. That's what he's talking about. Where you're just having a so-called good time. Right? And we all understand what that means. But the problem is that, what do you learn? Nothing. But when you go to the house of mourning, there are many things to learn. You learn about life. You learn about how, right? How frail life is, how life is so short. Whether you are rich, you are poor, death will come. So this week, I went for a funeral. This is one of our members, Jill Chan. Her mother passed away. And what I heard, you know, from actually, so Stanley and Jill, and Stanley were just sharing me about life that Jill went, you know, especially when she was much younger. And when she was much younger, the father passed away when he was just 50-something years old. So that was probably she was in her teenage life. And the mom took care of them, right? And not too long later, so she had an older brother and another set of twin brothers, and she was the last one. And subsequently, the elder brother also passed away. And so it wasn't easy. And sometimes when you look at life, you ask yourself how short life can be. This is, I think, the third person, you know, when I hear about a person passing in his 50s. I know, of course, I'm in my late 50s. And it's just a very, very firm reminder of what life is. So sometimes when we tend to think that life will just go on, right? Whether it's young people, young adults, and so on and so forth. When we go to the house of mourning, it is a very sobering thing. That's what he is trying to get across. So in verse 3, he says, sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools in the house of mirth. Right? You go to the house mourning, you're there with a friend. Yes, there is sadness and so on and so forth, but there's so much to learn. So much to understand, so much to appreciate. But if it's all about fun and drinking and partying, and what's that all about? Seriously. Everything is just very shallow. Everything is just very fleeting. Right? Okay. What do you think? Any questions? Right? Sometimes it's good for us. So one has to do with the question of name. The other has to do with our life. How do you look at life? Right? Life can be all that we make it to be. Sometimes we define. What is it that defines our life? Our career, our achievements. But as what Jane was sharing, you can be the best surgeon around in Australia, but you don't have a good name. And before you know it, life comes to an end. What is that all about? So you spend your whole life trying to achieve fame and fortune and recognition. But then life comes to an end. Okay, Gabe, what do you think? Anyway, last night we were talking and I had really a good time just talking to him and sharing with each other different things that, you know, that have been part of our lives in one way or another. Okay, great.
Yeah, I think that's what we were talking last night. Part of it was also about how this year there have been quite a few deaths, yes, and very sombering reminders.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's true what you said, that a lot of times when we are there, there's so much to learn.
Yeah.
So much to learn in how to be there for one another, how to support, how to minister to one another.
Yeah.
And it also teaches us personally a lot about, yes, how we want to regard life.
Yes.
And how we want to regard relationships and to cherish these times that we have with one another.
Absolutely. And,
yeah.
So it's, yeah. So what you said is important, right? How do you regard life? How do you regard your life? How do you spend your time? Right? So let's turn to Psalm 90, since this was something that was brought up. Right? Let's go to Psalm 90. And we want to be able to take time to consider this again and again. The problem with many of us is that we forget. That's a big problem with many of us. We forget, we lose our life in what is it that we fill our life with. But look at Psalm 90, right? So, verse 3, you turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of man. All God needs to do is just say, return. That's it. Your time is up. God calls out to you. Right? For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. So, what is 1,000 years? And yet, it's considered short. I mean, I've lived many, many years. Just come and gone, right? You look at this. Like yesterday when it's past. Yesterday, 24 hours ago. Past. Right? 1,000 years. Like yesterday. 1,000 years, like a watch in the night. So when I read this verse, I remember, you know, oh, I have to go and do guard duty. So anyway, on the way to the, to auditorium where they were going to have the ceremony, we passed by this guard. And we looked at the guard. The guard looked like he just woke up, right? And so we also, hey, this guy looked like he just woke up, right? But yet, what's a night? Nothing. What's a watch in the night? It just comes and goes. In the morning, you carry them away like a flood. They are like asleep, right? How long is the sleep? A few hours, maybe some of you longer. But what's the sleep? It comes and goes. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it's cut down and withers. Life comes and goes just like that. Right? And we know this very well. Verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if for by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Right? Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. So your 70 years, 80 years, what's your boast? Labor and sorrow. Ecclesiastes. Right? And for it's soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? Right? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, I know you're familiar with all these things. But yet, how are we really spending our time? How are we using our time? Life goes on very, very quickly. And each time when we are brought to a passage like this, whether in Ecclesiastes or Psalm 90, there must be thoughts that gets us to rethink how we are living our lives. It must. Right? Whether we are applying our heart of wisdom, whether there's compassion, mercy, right? Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy. Right? Life is short. Right? And many of you are already, 30, 30 and above. You're halfway there, eh? I'm serious. Right? You're half point. Don't have a midlife crisis, though, but... Right. Another half. How are you going to spend your time? I mean, you look back on the first half. You ask yourself, have we been really, really good users of our time? Seriously. And I look back, especially the earlier years, we wasted a lot of time doing a lot of wu-liao things. Right? Many things that you look at the end of the day, what's that all about? Wasted time. Right? But now, are we wiser? Are we all that wiser, seriously? All the achievements that you have, all the things that you gain, all the things that you want to do, comes to what? Nothing. And sooner or later, we also have to meet our Maker. We also have to be, we all have to come before the Lord. Teach us to number. So this is a prayer. Right? You notice this is actually a prayer. A prayer that is made to God to teach us. It's not about me teaching you. It is about God teaching you. It is about God speaking to you. It is about God. I'm here to share with you the Lord's word, but it's God that is teaching you. And what is He teaching you? What is He putting in your heart? See, ultimately, we go back to this idea of God. Right? And He must teach us. He will teach us differently because we are at different stages in our lives. We are at different levels of faith, different circumstances. Sometimes we have, some of us are going through different uncertainties in life. So we need to think it through. Do we really want to spend our time chasing this, chasing after that? Or do we really want to be able to say, Lord, teach me to number my days, Use it well. It is not until we have cancer, then okay, we want to number our days. Don't wait until something like this happens. Don't wait until something, suddenly realize that we have so limited time. The problem is that it does take such things in order for us to use our time well, unfortunately. But in reality, we can't. We're so attracted with this and that. We're so drawn to this and that. And the Lord will continue to have to teach us. The problem, why is He having to teach us again and again? Why? Alistair, why? Because we forget. Yeah, good.
I think a lot of times we also assume we still have time and assume that it will not happen to me.
Correct.
And even though I perhaps attend a funeral, for that moment, yes, I'm reminded.
Yes.
But the next moment, I go back to my own ways, my own plans.
Yes.
And I don't think about God's plans for me.
Yes, yeah. Precisely, you see. You're right. You go back to God's plans. And the thing is that, so that's the thing, you see. One is, as you say, we forget. But the problem is that have we really learned? If God were to teach you, right, and He really teaches you, and you say, God, you have taught me this, you have really learned. You will not forget. You put it into action. This is God's plan for me. How am I going to use my time? You see things very differently. But you're right. We tend to assume we still have time. We assume too much. And the more we assume, the more we realize that... I know why we assume a lot that we still have time. Because we want to do the things that we want to do. Right? It's not time yet. I'm not dying yet. Okay, I can go and have some this and that. You don't have time. I don't have very much time. I'm not going to waste it on this and that. So a lot of things that I used to do when I'm much younger, forget about it. What's that to you now? Nothing. So it's good for us to take the time and make this prayer. Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me. It's not... I really like the way Moses approaches this. He's asking God to teach him. And it's for us to learn. To learn how to number our days. Okay? Well, as we go into our groups, take time to think this through further. Okay? All right, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to understand what it means to have a good name. Help us to develop this name that would be honoring to you. Yet at the same time, we recognize that it is going to take time. But teach us to value a good name and to guard it. At the same time, we recognize that death and the house of mourning are places in which we can learn lessons, especially about life. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed teach us to have the wisdom to number our days. For we recognize that oftentimes we have sought to do our own things, the things that we are drawn to, and we recognize how much time is wasted. And thank you nonetheless for your compassion, for your mercy upon our lives. May we learn from these lessons that are going to make a difference in our lives. We pray that you will bless us even as we go into our groups. Bless our offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.